This is Marking Out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Follow on Twitter. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Marking out. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. Brennan likes this thing. Pro wrestling talk for pro wrestling fans. We marking out, y'all. We're marking out. Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans.
Welcome to Marking Out, Pro Wrestling Talk by Pro Wrestling Fans. This is episode 796. Thanks for listening. Hope that you're checking us out at markingout.com. You can also be checking us out on Spotify and wherever else you're listening to podcasts. Give us a 5-star rating to go with that 5-star frog splash. And in addition to all that, buy a t-shirt. ProWrestlingTees.com/markingout. Give us a like on Facebook. We got a Facebook page over there. What happens on there? Who knows? But maybe you'll be there. Give us a like. Also, give us a follow over at MarkingOut on TikTok, at MarkingOut on Twitter, at MarkingOut11 on Instagram, because I'm unsure how to convert it over to just MarkingOut. And then also, check us out on YouTube. So give us a subscription over there. Why? Because you got nothing better to do. And you can follow me on all social media platforms. That's right. Who am I? I am Dave the Rave. And you can follow me at David PT DPT. You can follow Chris at CMSweeney85 on Twitter. And Chris Sweendog over on Twitter. And the other one is on Instagram. But you caught my drift. And then I'm going to send on over to someone you should follow. It is the BTTG. It is Brandon. Follow him at BTTG161. Brandon, happy birthday.
Thanks.
Yeah, how you doing?
I am doing awesome as always. How about yourself?
Doing great. So what do you care to tell us?
What do I care to tell you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I flew down to Florida last week. You went on a little bit of a...
Yeah. What do you want to tell us?
I stayed at Coronado Springs for the first time. It's an absolutely huge resort on Disney property that I hope to never stay at again.
Wow, that was that good.
It's a very nice property. It's too big for me.
Mm-hmm.
Walking from my room to the bus, from my room to where the food is, not for me. And also, there was cheerleading there, so they modified the menu to make it simpler, grab and go. They had stuff set up under the food lamp and everything. They condensed the menu, not for me. But I went to Animal Kingdom the first day that I was there, or the second day, technically. And I went to the Better Zoogether again, and some of the effects didn't work where I was sitting. And it's only been open for 6 months. But I still think if you are a big fan of Zootopia, you'll like it. I think you might even like it more than A Bug's Life. Hmm. And I think many people in that show, they continued that. I mean, people clapped after the show was done. And I think they're enjoying the heck out of it. I did the safari twice. I didn't jump off. Did you see that video?
No, what happened?
A man jumped off. The video's going viral all over the internet. He jumped off to relieve himself. These safaris are quite long. I'm almost certain he was at somebody... I just watched somebody else's video. They said they were literally at the beginning. I thought they were just before right after the crocodile exhibit. So I'm not 100% sure, but he jumped off the vehicle to go pee, held up all the vehicles and everything. The kid looks so embarrassed. He's like, "Dad, come on." I'm assuming there's no follow-up. I don't know what happened. I assume he got a lifetime ban.
Wait, so this person had to go to the bathroom. They jumped off the ride, and where did they go?
In a bush?
But aren't there animals, if I'm not mistaken?
I think if it's the spot where I think it was, there was no possible way any animals could get over there.
So this guy's actually pretty lucky.
Yeah.
If anything.
Yeah.
Like,
but then the other person that works at Disney World or used to work at Disney World said that it was like right near the beginning of the ride, so there still, I don't think, would be animals over there, but I was under the impression that it was past that point. Either way, he got very lucky with no animals, but at the same time, man, I don't know how. At that point, just go in your pants, maybe. I don't know. I'm sure Disney would have given you free shorts.
Why? How long of a ride is this?
It could be, I think, at least like 18 minutes, but it can be up to 40 minutes if there are animals blocking the route and everything.
Uh-huh.
But even still, and I don't know how long he waited on the line, but
I mean, I'm just saying, that's why I went to the bathroom pretty much every time before one of the lines. If I had to go, I didn't even gamble. I just got right onto the bathroom.
Yeah.
You know? The last thing I wanted to do is get online or get on a ride like a roller coaster and have that urge to have to take a piss or something. I mean, I understand that's uncomfortable, but at that point, I mean, so they couldn't even get, they were like legit on this ride. Like there's no turning back or anything.
Yeah, they hopped off. They literally, the vehicle must have been stopped. I don't think it would have been moving where you would have jumped off for that.
This is pretty much, so this is the equivalent as if you're already buckled into a roller coaster and then you jump off a roller coaster pretty much.
I guess, yeah, technically, yeah. They already driven off. But after Animal Kingdom, I went to Maya Grill, which is at my hotel, which I have to say it was very difficult because of the cheerleading. It was very difficult to even get food in that market because of how crowded it was. It was difficult to find reservations at Maya Grill. It was difficult to find reservations at any of the other restaurants with how packed it was. I got half a grilled chicken, which I hate chicken on the bone. It had guajillo and guava glaze, but that was absolutely delicious. So I'm happy with that. The rice was undercooked, but the chicken itself I thought was good. It's just like an overpriced meal, though, that I don't think that's necessary.
Okay.
I also finally went to Beer Garden on Friday. I had always wanted to go there. I was always worried because I don't eat pork, and it's German food, so that's a lot of pork. But I thought it was really good. It's a German buffet. I would 100% go back there. The mac and cheese might actually be the best Disney mac and cheese I've ever had.
I don't know if I've had... Oh, yeah, no, I did. Did I? Yes, I did. But at Disneyland. No, never at Disney World.
I was also very much so looking forward to the potato pancakes on that buffet. And when I got up to the buffet, they were like a... It was like a... I don't even know... It wasn't puff pastry. I don't know what to describe it as. I asked the waitress. I was like, is this what a potato pancake is like in Germany? And she was like, oh, almost like a don't get me started. She was like, the chefs have no control. They're giving it away. Like they're putting this out until it's gone. It's not the normal potato pancake. So that was disappointing because I was going to go ham on those potato pancakes. And she was like, come back in like 6 months. So that was unfortunate.
Wait, why couldn't you eat it?
No, it wasn't what we think of as potato pancakes. She said that for whatever reason, they're being forced to sell these. It was like almost like a puff pastry, but it wasn't puff pastry.
Huh.
It wasn't what... I had one, but it wasn't what we would expect from a potato pancake.
Yeah.
So I didn't need to go back and eat more. But overall... I didn't have any of the pork. I had beef. I had chicken. I had a lot of vegetables, and I thought it was very good. So, definitely looking forward to going back there.
Did you go on any rides?
What do you do?
You're an avid attendee of Disney whenever you get a chance, right? You have a annual passes, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do when you go, after you've been on like X amount of rides and stuff like that, I feel like at some point
I still go on X
can
amount
get
of rides.
Repetitive.
Like that but, day like, before, like, before the beer garden, I went on Journey into Imagination. I could go on that ride all the time. I'm fine with that. I just hate the smell.
I don't know.
Coffee.
I feel like there's a point where.
Nah, man. I went to Hollywood Studios, and literally, I just went. I waited for. I went into the Walt Disney Presents gimmick to see what exhibit they had. They had outfits from the Little Mermaid movie, and they had outfits from Oscar mm-hmm. films. They had the outfit that Rose went on the Titanic with.
Mm-hmm.
So I went for that, and then I just literally went to Tower of Terror, waited in the pouring rain to get on, went on Tower of Terror, and left. I know it was Star Wars Day this past week. I didn't need to go into Galaxy's Edge. I didn't go to Toy Story Land. It's just for me right now.
That day?
And also, say that again?
Was it crowded that day?
I didn't go on May 4th. The reservations were already sold out for May 4th. I thought about it, and I could have gone to another park and then hopped over to Hollywood Studios. I didn't want to deal with it. Mm-hmm. I saw videos of the crowd, and it was not anywhere close to as crowded as I thought it was going to be.
Okay, but even still, a crowd is annoying at times.
And I also, before I went on Tower of Terror, I went over to where Rock and Roller Coaster was just to check it out because they took down the construction wall, so I was able to see mm-hmm. the Muppets guitar at least. But on Sunday, I went to Epcot again. I went on the new version of Test Track, which I did enjoy. I liked, I don't know, I've been on all three versions of Test Track. I don't know mm-hmm. which one I prefer more. This one was more visually stunning, I should say, perhaps.
Okay.
So
I never went on Test Track.
I like it. It's a good ride. If you like, because you're only going, I don't know how fast you're going.
Which one?
What?
Actually, I may have went on Test Track. I don't remember. I never went on the Rock and Roller Coaster.
Yeah, that one I only did the queue for when it was Aerosmith. But
Yeah, I've never done that.
And then I went on the new 2D version of Remy's Ratatouille Adventure. Somehow that felt more dizzying than the 3D version to me. Yeah. So I don't know how I feel about that. And then I went by myself to Disney Springs for dinner. I ate at Terralina Crafted Italian. I got a pizza. I got grilled chicken. The grilled chicken was so dry. That sucked. The focaccia that they gave you was mid. The pizza, I thought, was very good. I typically hate when they put olive oil on pizza, but they put like a garlic-infused olive oil on it. I thought that was very good. So I will 100% be going back to Terralina Crafted Italian for food.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last like actual full day at Disney, I always feel like I need more Magic Kingdom. I mean, sometimes I get to go more than once. I only went that one full day. So I did Pirates. I did Haunted Mansion. I was not waiting in line for Big Thunder. It literally just reopened this past week.
Mm-hmm.
And it's apparently slower, so I might like it better. I don't know, but I wasn't waiting in that line. I'll be back, I'm sure. So I'll go on it eventually. Mm-hmm. I went to Liberty Tree Tavern for a super early dinner, which I always enjoy Liberty Tree Tavern. I'll tell everybody going to Disney World for the very first time, you have to try Liberty Tree Tavern.
Mm-hmm.
I tried the updated Buzz Lightyear Space Ranger Spin. I had thought that it was going to be bad for my arthritis with how you now have to hold the guns, and I unfortunately was correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I could see that people are going to have a lot more freedom to gain points on that. I did like where I was able to see where my shots were going with the lasers. So you were able to kind of score better. I also played both hands. So I don't know. It's a decent update, but I just wish there was like a better update for someone with arthritis, I guess. But I went on Astro Orbiter. That was my final ride at Magic Kingdom. I went on for the first and probably last time. I thought it was going to be a lot more like Dumbo, but this was more of a, I don't want to say a thrill ride, but it got like pretty fast at some points. So I wasn't expecting that, but it was cool to see the view from up there. You get to see all of Tomorrowland. You could see some of the castle and stuff. And then I did Carousel of Progress before I left, and I headed to the Polynesian.
Why?
Why? Because it's the best
worst
attraction
ride ever.
It's the best attraction ever, and I will say,
I can't wait for
the
them
scenes,
tear it down.
One of the scenes had the lights on, so it was in fact broken. It was down earlier in the day. I don't know if that was the reason, but
this is the one with the wrestling on the TV.
Yeah, in the wrong era.
Yeah, I can't wait for them to tear that down.
It's not getting torn down ever.
They should. It's awful.
In fact, they're adding Walt Disney to it, so they're not going to tear it down. But yeah. I went to the Polynesian to try their exclusive Island Time Fizz, which is Pog-flavored Sprite, which is passion fruit, orange, guava. And I thought it was good. I would drink that again, but it was ridiculously far out of my way, so the likelihood of me getting that again is quite low. And then on my way to the airport, we took a Tesla in the Uber. I got super dizzy, as it felt like I was on Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind. Apparently,
have you never been in Tesla before?
No, and apparently that happens to some people in the back seats of Teslas.
Oh, that's interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got super dizzy, and it was absolutely awful. I had to, as soon as we got out of the Uber, I had to sit down on the bench. I tried to walk. I sat there for maybe like 10 minutes. I got up, tried to walk again, sat down right back on the I sat in a chair right when you get into the airport. Man, I after Guardians, I was out for like 40 minutes. I had to sit in the Connections Eatery or whatever it's called in Epcot. This was the exact same thing. I had to literally, I sat for like 25 minutes in that chair. I thought about getting paramedics. I didn't know what the hell was happening. I was checking my heart rate and I knew that was fine. So I couldn't have been like, I assumed I couldn't have been like in trouble.
Yeah.
But I hope to never, ever be in the back of a Tesla ever again. Because that was awful. That was truly awful.
Yeah, I'm sure.
But overall, I enjoyed this trip to Walt Disney World. How was your week?
It was great. It was great, you know? But
is that it?
Unfortunately, this week we... Yeah. Unfortunately, this week we had the passing of Ted Turner, the WCW owner with the Atlanta Braves, and
yeah,
just
he was
big
a
time.
A television pioneer. He founded the first 24-hour news cable channel, that being CNN. He founded TBS, TNT, Turner Classic Movies. I'm sure you watch that a lot. He's also responsible for Cartoon Network, because he had purchased, in one of his big purchases, I think he had the earlier Looney Tunes cartoons. He had all the Hanna-Barbera cartoons. Needed a place to air them, and a 24-hour channel devoted to cartoons was born, that being Cartoon Network. And like you said, he owned the Braves, showcased the Atlanta Braves to millions of homes. Instead of just being a local team, I believe he owned the Atlanta Hawks also. And then like you also said, for wrestling fans, he purchased Jim Crockett Promotions in 1988, turned it into World Championship Wrestling, WCW. That obviously turned into something huge as WWE's main competitor. We all know the story with WWE beating WCW beating WWE in the ratings. Mm-hmm. Obviously, WWE ended up purchasing WCW, but Ted Turner was not the reason why WCW failed, as I saw many people claim this past week. And I do wish there were more interviews about him. In regard to pro wrestling, I also think it's a shame.
Why would people think that he was the reason?
I don't know. I also think it's a shame he never got to do or never did the wrestling circuit, the convention circuit. Mm-hmm. I think that would have been a cool, like, person to meet there. But
why
it's
would he
unfortunate.
Ever do a convention circuit? He's a billionaire.
I'm a very much so well. Yeah. Well aware.
You're not
going
to see Elon Musk going around to a convention.
I don't. I feel like Elon Musk would.
Okay.
Do
bad example.
Like that.
Bad example. Bad example. That's true.
But I think it would have been one of those cool, like, rare appearance appearing now, Ted Turner.
Yeah.
I mean, like, we've seen rare appearances from some people, but it's unfortunate. So I want to thank Ted for, I mean, WCW is part of my childhood. Cartoon Network was a very big part of my childhood. So our condolences go out to his family, his friends, all the fans of anything that he had to do with.
Condolences, you know.
Going to move back to SmackDown from last week, just to recap it real quick. Obviously, we didn't speak about it last week. I was in Florida. But Ricky Saints confronted Cody Rhodes. A match was set up. And then Cody defeated Ricky Saints. And Gunther attacked Cody afterwards. A lot of people are comparing this to when Carmelo Hayes debuted on the main roster. Kind of similar. Very similar, I'd say. Yeah, JC Jane pick up the victory over Charlotte Flair, which is, I think, a huge victory for JC Jane. Rhea Ripley eventually evened up the odds for Charlotte and Alexa. That sets up a match for this week, I believe, so I'll talk about that in a moment. You had a segment with Danhausen giving out merch. It was interrupted by The Miz, who said that he finally realized he's cursed and he'll finally mentor Danhausen. Kit Wilson came out to try to convince Miz not to do it. And then Miz chose Danhausen. It was a sneak attack. It sets up a match for Backlash. We'll talk about that in a moment. Sami Zayn, no pun intended, snapped. Beat up a gingerbread costume. Trick Williams made the save. They're doing a funeral for that.
Yeah. Did you think that was actually somebody underneath there at first?
No, because I saw them setting it up. Did we not?
Oh.
I'm pretty sure we saw that.
I didn't see them setting it up.
We saw Brie Bella and Paige pick up the victory over the Irresistible Forces to retain the Tag Team Championships. You had earlier in the night, the Judgment Day versus Fraxium ended in a no contest because Tala Tonga took them out. Solo spoke afterwards about Jacob Fatu, and he said that Jacob made a mistake. The Usos came out. They went back and forth on the mic. Solo gave Tala Tonga the orders to take out the Usos. He took them out. We saw Royce Keyes pick up the victory over Angel. And then he spoke to Jacob Fatu backstage. They go back a very long time outside of WWE. Solo and Tala Tonga.
I didn't know about that history between them.
Yeah, and then Solo and Tala Tonga took them out. And we get to the main event where Solo and Tala Tonga pick up the victory of the Usos via disqualification because Fatu showed up. And then fast forward even more, we find out that WWE released Tangaloa and JC Mateo mid-storyline.
I mean, Mateo, I feel like Mateo should have went to NXT instead of being paired with Solo. I think he was doomed from the start. Mm. And we never really got to see Mateo. I think, what, he maybe had 6 matches total?
Maybe even less, I don't know.
Maybe even less. I'll admit I haven't seen him really wrestle. Maybe I saw one match, but all forgettable. Unfortunate because he is a very talented wrestler.
Yeah.
And then, I mean,
New
what
Day.
Can we say about
New Day agreed on their release. Apparently, they asked a bunch of the roster to take pay cuts. New Day said no, and that's honestly beyond shocking and very annoying.
I mean, apparently they're asking Roman Reigns and many others on the roster as well. So it's going to be actually kind of interesting to see will anybody else say no and opt out of their contract?
Then there's that rumor that came out saying they're trying to retain Xavier Woods in a Tyler Breeze-like manner for the video game. Don't get me started on that video game, I swear to God. But moving
it's
away
very
from...
unfortunate, though.
Yeah,
very
much
unfortunate,
so.
Though.
Very much
so. You know,
so.
We on the lighter side of everything, it's going to be exciting to see what they do next, because let's face it, I feel like Kofi maybe, I mean, has a few years left and everything probably before he wants to pull the reins a little bit, but it's going to be exciting to see the stuff that New Day can do, maybe mix it up with the Young Bucks and Kenny Omega after all of the...
I honestly could not care less about that. I think not in 2026.
You know what? I can't say that.
I have watched Kenny Omega, and he is not Kenny Omega anymore. Sorry.
I agree with that, but I feel like I would still be entertained by it. But maybe just the first 5 minutes, and then I tire out.
The first 5 minutes in AEW could just be like them chanting, "This is awesome."
That's true. So I could have already tired out.
But yeah, it's unfortunate. I do hope that New Day is back in WWE soon. I really hate that TKO is doing the whole pay cut gimmick. Mm-hmm. I really do.
It's very unfortunate. And I think that they need a pro wrestling union.
They killed their tag division. They literally killed the tag team division.
WWE's tag team division is awful. You know, they need a union. Jesse Ventura, this is what he's been talking about.
I don't know if a union would do anything.
I think that there has to be a way for these wrestlers. They shouldn't be independent contractors, first off. If you're under a contract,
let's not talk about union busting and everything right now. Let's not talk about that.
MLB, they're signed to a contract.
Let's keep it to WWE talk.
Okay, let's move on.
Roman Reigns pulled up. I watched this literally at the bus stop at the Magic Kingdom on Netflix. Adam Pearce tried to stop Roman Reigns, tried to talk to him, and he's like, which, by the way, Roman Reigns pulled up. He didn't have his championship with him. I didn't understand that.
But, I didn't either.
Like, that made literally no sense. But Jacob Fatu was not there. Adam Pearce told him that. He's like, it's Seth's segment right now. Seth Rollins had a stare down with Roman Reigns.
And he was on his, Roman Reigns is booking it to the ring, and then he just, Pierce stopped him.
And then Seth went to the ring, Bron Breakker attacked him, it was broken up, Bron Breakker hit him with another spear, and then later on, Jackie Redmond asked Seth Rollins if he's going to be fined for backlash, and he said that he told Bron Breakker last week or whatever that he better take him out completely if he's going to try to take him out at all. He's good for backlash. So...
yeah.
We had the Judgment Day backstage where Liv Morgan questioned Roxanne Perez about why Finn Balor was in the clubhouse last week, why she had to find out from Netflix and not from Roxanne herself. I know you were a huge fan of that.
Dude, that never happens. And that's one of the things that I feel like with pro wrestling, it's like a pet peeve, but not really, because it's like, okay, I get it. It's pro wrestling. You know, when somebody gets a disqualification or whatever, and they're not looking back at the tape to see, oh, they actually got screwed over by this person, and this actually what they think happened didn't happen because they saw it on the tape. So for Liv Morgan to be like, I had to watch Netflix to see what took place and that he was back here, I was like, that's genius. Yes, that's great. Yeah, because she should know because she watched the product. It was great.
And then Roxanne made it very clear that she's done with Finn Balor. She did agree that she should have told Liv Morgan. So they were still kind of playing it on the fence there. Liv Morgan hyped up Roxanne and Raquel as the next tag team champions. And then we go to the next match where JD McDonagh picks up the victory over Finn Balor, where we saw Dominic Mysterio get involved a few times in this match. Overall, though, I think it was pretty even.
I thought it was very even, and I gotta say, I thought Jessica Carr, her reaction to Dirty Dom shaking the ropes for Finn to fall and crash down on the turnbuckle, I thought that was awesome reaction because she looked at Dom and was just gave the entire what are you doing? That was like right in front of me. What are you doing? I see you. You're out of here. I thought that was great.
I didn't understand. JD was working Finn Balor's leg, I guess you would say, the whole match. It didn't affect the finish. I was surprised by that. I was expecting Balor to go the other way. Roxanne Perez came out. She stood in Balor's corner. She was opposite of Dom. And then Liv and Raquel came out. Dom gets kicked from ringside. Liv Morgan goes to cheat, and she tosses the hammer to Roxanne so the referee doesn't see the hammer in Liv's hand. Roxanne then uses it on Finn Balor.
Yeah.
So there, I guess, is that I am officially done with Finn Balor.
And I was very happy that she did catch it because it was like a no-look toss to her. So it made it look even better that she actually caught it.
And then JD hit the headbutt, gets the victory.
Yeah.
And then also, by the way, the Judgment Day backstage later on said that they want Paige and Brie Bella to come to Monday Night Raw. Bayley and Lyra Valkyria interrupted that, so I assume we're going to see that match before we see a title match on Monday Night Raw.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes sense. But talking about matches involving teams, Rusev and Ethan Page picked up the victory over Penta and Javon Evans. It was a good match. I was happy. Like, Javon Evans, incredible. Like, I liked it's so when, cool to watch him jumping around and stuff.
Yeah, when he jumped, he did a backflip to get away from Ethan Page to tag in Penta. I thought that was really cool.
Yeah.
And then I liked all the double team stuff that him and Penta were doing together.
100% agreed.
Ethan Page and Rusev, I think, did a good job at cheating in this match. Didn't matter much here.
Yeah, they pair well.
Rusev landed on the commentary table at one point. Javon went to go up to the top rope. Ethan Page knocks him off. You think maybe we shouldn't have seen something like that, given that we saw Dom do that in the first match?
No, I think that that's okay, because it wasn't the finish of the match. And I feel like if he didn't do it, I would have been like, why the hell is he not knocking him off or doing something like that?
And then Ethan Page tried to go after Penta. The referee stopped him. Rusev was able to slam him on the commentary table. And then from that, Ethan Page hit a perfect plex to get the victory there.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't expecting that finish.
No, not at all. But I do like this Rusev-Ethan Page combination deal, but I don't know how far it's going to go.
I would assume technically wanting a singles title.
Yeah, I could assume like probably Ethan Page screws over Rusev at some point to get that title, and then or get an advantage, and then Rusev just beats the crap out of Ethan Page and leaves him.
Or Rusev's crushed.
But next up you had...
Get it?
Yeah. No, I got it. Next up you had a signing, an introduction, so to speak, even though she's been out there. But Adam Pearce has a contract in hand and calls out the newest addition to the Monday Night Raw brand, that being Sol Ruka. Sol Ruka makes her way down.
Pretty big there.
Yeah. Put her over huge, just to be interrupted, though.
Yeah, Becky Lynch immediately interrupted that. And she said that Adam Pearce made a match against Io Giannetti, which was against the rules of her open challenge. Sol Ruka asked Becky Lynch if she's done. They went back and forth. Sol Ruka signs the contract. Becky Lynch accidentally hits Adam Pearce. Sol Ruka hits the Soul Snatcher. That ends the segment. A little hiccup there, but whatever.
Let's talk about it. That hiccup.
It's live TV, brother. What do you mean, let's talk about it? I'm not going to falter at all. What do you mean?
I'm not going to fault her at all, but the IWC... Such annoying people out there. Yeah. They're like, oh, she messed this up. She's a slip. And then the amount of bashing for her, the amount of bashing of her overall, saying that she's green, this and that. It's as if they didn't mark out the 500 other times that she performed that move, and it looked incredible.
Which,
and then
by the
everybody
way, kudos to WWE for that. That's, I would say, a very good edit they had there.
100%. I watched it back this morning, and it's perfect. But even still, you have everybody, even with the edit. Oh, they edited this out. They changed this. It's like, what did you just complain your butt off the entire time? And now because they made an edit, so it wasn't there, you're complaining even further. If this happened on a live TV show of something, or it In a movie, you don't keep in errors or bloopers or anything like that. You edit it out. Fans are annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But on to the next matchup. Joe Hendry picks up the victory over Austin Theory, but it was by disqualification, and we had some stuff going on backstage as well, right?
Yeah, Logan Paul wanted a match with Joe Hendry. Paul Heyman was like, no, let Austin Theory do this instead. And Joe Hendry performed that song again. The crowd sang it. I thought the match itself was a very well-worked match, but Logan Paul was too pissed off. He ends up attacking Joe Hendry. Austin Theory joined in, and then the Street Profits ran down to make the save, but Bron Breakker comes out, takes them out, and then Seth Rollins attacked Bron Breakker. Montez Ford dove over Seth Rollins to take out the Vision ringside. That distraction led to Seth Rollins getting another spear from Bron Breakker. And then Seth Rollins backstage told the Street Profits they're both fighting the same fight. They should be like, hello, we're doing this. Why not together almost? They were like, we don't trust you. And they said, stay out of our way. And or I don't know, maybe he said, if you stay out of my way, I'll stay out of your way almost sort of thing. One of them said it to them.
They weren't even... Yeah, he didn't want to be together with them, and they didn't with him either. But do you think that this entire song itself, poor timing with everything with...
I said that last week. Releases? Yeah, absolutely it was.
Like, I was surprised that they kind very of went back tune, into though. It after...
It's a very catchy tune.
Huh?
It's very catchy.
It is a catchy tune. It is a catchy tune. You know? But next up, you had the Obafemi Open Challenge. Obafemi being challenged by Otis.
I will say I'm glad that we got those really good matches from Alpha Academy a few months ago.
Mm-hmm.
We saw Akira Tozawa step up first. He thought twice, and then Otis stepped in, which we did see back in 2024, Otis versus Obafemi. And I don't remember if it went the exact same way. I don't know if Otis had more offense in that NXT match, but the fans seem to have enjoyed Otis in this match, where Otis looked strong, but they were fully behind Obafemi.
Agreed. And that
Obafemi put
just...
Obafemi put Otis on the second rope to hit the fall from grace. Braun Strowman took to Twitter, be like, I didn't have any problem lifting him up.
I actually like that because, I mean, first off, Oba knew that it was going to be tough to lift him up. Right? So what did he do? He made it easier on himself. He made it easier even on his back. You know, he made sure that he's going to last longer because if you're going to lift up somebody without that assist, especially somebody that large, your back is going to really, you need proper posture and body mechanics. And guess what? He minimized errors and he minimized the damage on his own body by doing that.
We had a sit down segment with Asuka and Io Sky. I thought this was great. Mm-hmm. Io said, even after everything Asuka's done to her, she still respects Asuka. But Asuka's changed, and then Asuka said that the Io in front of her is no longer the student that she taught, and she's her biggest disappointment. She's cutting Io out of her life after Backlash for good, and then Io said she's ready for Asuka. They both leaned in. I don't know how Io didn't see this coming. Asuka missed it her in the face. But that maybe goes to prove that Io doesn't know everything Asuka knows.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Next up, you have El Grande Americano and Los Americanos Hermanos, which is actually...
Hermanos?
I don't know if you know this. Yeah, Hermanos. I don't know if you know this, but it's actually the Creed brothers.
It's Julio y Bruto.
They actually picked up the victory. Yeah, they picked up the victory over El Grande Americano y Los Americanos.
Original, by the way, gave reasons as to why this match was even allowed to take place because there was a no-touch clause in their contract, which I'll talk about in a moment, but it's only for Mexico. I also wish that Julio and Bruto existed for AAA because it was the Creeds who attacked Americano on Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So, but Los Americanos attacked before the match. I enjoy this match. I'm very, very much so pumped for that Noche de los Grande match.
Same. And I'm happy that the Creed brothers are involved in this, because with everything that's taking place right now, there's a lot of uncertainty.
So it's going to be very weird, though, because, like, obviously Gable's going to be the one that gets unmasked. So Chad Gable's going to return to Monday Night Raw. He's been getting cheered. So it'll be very interesting to see where they go with Chad Gable from there.
True. Very true, very true.
And then to close Monday Night Raw, we had the contract signing, Roman Reigns, Jacob Fatu. Roman Reigns said that he opened the door for Solo Sikoa. He mentioned how Solo opened the door for Jacob, so that means he brought him in. I could swear we heard that line already. Roman Reigns brought up the Tongan death grip and said, you don't use that on family. And Jacob Fatu said he was desperate. He had no choice but to go after Roman Reigns. He wants to feed his family. And Roman Reigns said that while Jacob is worried about his kids, he's worried about a whole entire family, a whole bloodline. And I thought that was a great line from Roman Reigns. But Roman Reigns said that in their family, they're equals. In the ring, he's beneath him. And then Jacob Fatu attacked him. I thought they did a very good job with the Tongan death grip here. And I'm excited to see it factored into their match at Backlash. But again, in this promo, major, major gaslighting from Roman Reigns. And the fans are just eating it up and cheering him. But I think it's all heel from Roman Reigns.
I agree. I think it's all heel from him. And I like the fact that he said, you don't use that move. Like, you don't use that move on family. I like that they're giving power and emphasis to a move.
Which also, by the way, they cheered for Jacob Fatu, which I was happy to hear. So,
yeah,
I'm excited for that. Moving over to NXT, it kicked off with Callie Armstrong picking up the victory over Jada Parker. I thought this was an even match. I don't know how I feel about Callie Armstrong as a heel. I think she was so good when she showed up in NXT last year as the Evolve champion. I think she's still impressive, but I like her as a face, not so much as a heel. And then the internet, how dare she use a shoulder block? How dare she use a pouncing move?
Yeah, I didn't understand that hate.
That's not a finisher. How dare she?
Those same people have never watched the Ultimate Warrior matchup.
He obviously did it and then used the splash.
Because the splash was obviously coming from a person that's not the size of Otis. Obviously, the splash is a great finish.
I think it's fine to use it. I don't see a problem. And then Jada Parker was pissed off later on. Natty showed up, and she said,
"What about the belly to belly? It's just a belly to belly.
Say that again?
It's just a belly to belly. Just a belly to belly.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
it's fans what you do with the move. It's who's doing the move. We've learned this. It's wrestling 101."
And also, it's also how you sell the move. I mean, leg drop, brother.
But Natty showed up later on, and she said that she guesses that Jada Parker's gotten soft, so I'm assuming we're going to see some sort of mentorship there, and I'm looking forward to seeing that. I think Jada Parker definitely needs a next step in her career, and Natty would be the perfect person to get that there.
Big time. Big time.
We had a video for Evil. NXT is entering a new era of opportunity, is what was said. He said that they weren't presents to Tony D'Angelo. They were a proclamation of battle. He wants the title. And now we know his new name is going to be Naraku. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we get from Evil in NXT.
Yeah, I agree with you.
We were at one of his next very up, you first had matches, Jackson, like I said last week. So we've seen his whole career at this point.
Yeah.
In America.
Next up, you had Jackson Drake pick up the victory over Jasper Troy.
So the Vanity Project did cause some distractions. Drake controlled a lot more of this match than I expected him to against Jasper Troy. But we see Michael Lockwood show up. Troy presses Brad Baylor into the ring. Micah shows up, body slams Troy. Drake hits a 450, gets the victory. I think that made Micah look extremely strong, even stronger than she may actually be.
I agree
with
you.
Given the size of Jasper Troy.
Yeah, and right away, the person who goes into mind is China with D-Generation X.
I thought that was a fantastic in-person debut for Micah.
Agreed. I'm very excited. I'm glad that she's with these three wrestlers who she's a lot larger than, and she could be their muscle, and I see no problem with this, and it's a great start for her official on-screen debut.
And then later on, we saw Romeo Moreno appear, introduce himself to the Vanity Project. They made fun of him. Noam Dar returned, finally. And that sets up a match between Jackson Drake and Noam Dar for next week. So I'm very much so looking forward to that. I have to assume Noam Dar will not be walking out the victor.
Yeah, I'd agree with you on that one.
The next segment, we saw Zarya come out. People cheered her. Was that interesting or what? Was that surprising?
I think that the problem is that it's just the NXT crowd. Like, the NXT crowd, I feel like it's just like how Canada was called, like, Bizarro Land at times. Like, I feel like it's the same thing where you just have the total... And same thing with New York, so to speak, in Chicago. I feel like you just have that total opposite at NXT at times. And it's just like, it doesn't make sense. Do you know what she just did to Sol Ruka?
She said that she has a clear path for the North American Championship. Tatum Paxley came out and talked to Zarya about figuring out who she is without Sol Ruka. She also said that if she comes for the title, she's not losing. And then Lizzie Rain came out, pitched getting the title. Nikita Lyons came out, said that Rain is shooting above her head. She's not done with Lizzie Rain. That came to blows. Everyone fought. Zarya hit the F5 on Tatum and stood tall. And then Robert Stone set up a tag match for next week, and Zarya's like, I'm done with tag teams, brother. I don't want this, but we're going to see that, so.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. But, yeah. Next up, you had The Calling.
Do you believe...
Pick the victory over...
I was going to say, do you believe... We were supposed to see Tony D'Angelo versus Tavion Heights there. And D'Angelo got attacked by Cam Hendricks. This match was supposed to be the main event. Do you even for a moment believe that this was supposed to be the main event?
I mean...
I don't believe the Culling versus Mystery Iguana and Lola Vice was ever about to be... Like, that to me, that's not believable. That's not like, oh, quick, we have to move up the main event to right now.
Yeah, true. True, true.
But I thought this had some good action. I like the submission spot where Nico went to break up the submission and Mr. Iguana then locked him in a submission. But Nico Vance got Mr. Iguana to the outside, slammed him. That distracted Lola Vice, and Izzy Dame was able to hit that running knee to get the victory. So it was fun to see Lola Vice and Mr. Iguana team. Now I have to assume we're going to see the Calling versus them for the Mixed Tag Team Championships. I don't think they're going to lose the titles, though.
I don't either. But next up, you had Dark State pick up the victory over Hank and Tank. Yeah, these... I don't know.
This was... So they advertised, and I fully expected to see Dion Lennox and Saquon Sugars not on the same page. They advertised them to be in the match. Then it turned out to be Osiris Griffin and Cutler James in the match teaming. And I think Cutler and Griffin worked very well as a team in this match. Maybe some things weren't smooth, but as far as the actual match goes, they were completely on the same page as opposed to Dion Lennox and Saquon Sugars. I think that ties into whatever's happening in Dark State right now between those two. So,
true.
I thought that was a well-done match. Main event saw Tony D'Angelo pick up the victory over Tavion Heights. Like I said, Hendricks had attacked Tony earlier. We didn't know if this match was going to happen, but it happened. I liked Tony and Tavion Heights doing that mat wrestling to open the match. And also, Robert Stone had told Tony D'Angelo that Cam Hendricks was kicked out of the building. He shows up in the match. Miles Bourne takes him out to help Tavion out. Heights ends up turning into the dead to rights, though. That costs him the match. Tony helps him up, though. And then who shows up? Will Cruz. We now know he's now, Mason Rook.
Yeah. He's, what is it? He's big, he's bad, he'll slam your dad?
Something like that.
I mean, John Cena is a big fan of his.
Big, big fan. So that was NXT moving over to SmackDown. It opened up with Jacob Fatu. And he said he's not fighting Roman Reigns at Backlash. He's taking the championship. He also said Roman Reigns was born with opportunity. Meanwhile, he was not. He was kind of shunned, it seemed. The Usos came out. Jimmy said that they're not out there to change his mind. They're proud of him. Jay said Roman Reigns is going to break Jacob Fatu down and do it in front of his family in Tampa. And then he'll have to acknowledge Roman Reigns as the tribal chief. And Jacob Fatu warned them not to interfere in his match. Royce Keith spoke to Jacob Fatu later on, told him failure is not an option, hyped him up big time. And then ran into Solo, and Solo said that he was in the wrong place last week. There's still room for him in the MFT, but he needs an answer soon. I'll put a pin in that. We had Tiffany Stratton pick up the victory over Kiana James to retain the U.S. Championship. Chelsea Green, who is recovering from a heart procedure, still managed to appear on SmackDown via video message to wish Tiffany Stratton good luck. She was on Busted Open already. I'm glad that everything is on the mend with Chelsea Green there. But the match, Julia, she wanted the match. Tiffany Stratton gave it to Kiana James. Kiana James, I thought, was great in this match. Julia distracted the referee at one point. Kiana James had Tiffany Stratton pinned. The referee, though, was distracted, like I just said. Stratton kicked out. She kicked Julia off the apron. She hit the elbow. She hit the prettiest moonsault ever. Gets the victory. Julia and Kiana James, maybe not so much on the same page. After that, Tala Tonga picked up the victory over Damian Priest. This is not how we usually see Damian Priest. He's usually the big guy in the match, so I liked that aspect of this. After Damian Priest took Solo Sikoa out, I fully expected him to be the cause of the end of the match. But Tama Tonga showed up. Solo did get involved. Priest took Solo out. R-Truth showed up when they all surrounded him, though. And R-Truth was told by Priest to stay in the back. Priest said that to R-Truth. And that distraction led to him losing, led to Tala Tonga getting the victory there. And then the MFT surrounded R-Truth afterwards. Royce Keyes came out, which backed them up. Again, I'll put a pin in that. We had a segment with Paul Heyman where he apparently got Gunther on SmackDown. And he went to sign the contract. Cody came out to the ring, so Gunther handed the contract back. He's like, I don't deal business like this. Cody went to the ring, obviously I said that, addressed Gunther attacking him, called him out. Paul showed up instead with the contract. And Cody's like, we don't need a contract. We're in Jacksonville. Let's just do this. And Paul said, the contract is for Clash in Italy. If you want this match, you'll have to get Gunther to sign it. And Cody asked Paul if he's out of options, and that's why he's with Gunther. And Paul Heyman said, it kind of seems like I'm not the one who's out of options. And sooner or later, they all need the wise man, perhaps teasing a working relationship between Cody Rhodes and Paul Heyman. And then Gunther ran out. They fought. The ending of WrestleMania with Randy Orton is beyond confusing. Because where's Randy Orton? Where is he in all of this? It makes no sense. Why was that punt a thing? After that, we had Ricky Saints pick up the victory over Matt Cardona. I think this outcome was obvious. I think Ricky Saints obviously needed this victory. I also think Matt Cardona should be WWE champion someday. But I think this was the perfect match to come back from a loss from Cody from Ricky Saints last week. You had Brie Bella, Paige come out. They addressed the Judgment Day. Paige told everyone to step up. Fatal Influence came out, and JC said that it's them that they need to worry about, not the Judgment Day. Then the Irresistible Forces came out and questioned how they're skipping the line, how they could possibly think they could skip the line. And then they clocked Brie Bella, and Paige took them out. And that goes into their match. You see Fatal Influence pick up the victory over Rhea Ripley and Charlexa. I thought this was great. I enjoyed the absolute heck out of this match. Flair at one point hit Natural Selection on Lainey and JC at the same time. JC kicked out. And then Charlexa went for that dual Natural Selection. Fatal Influence stopped it. And then Jade Cargill showed up. She pulled Rhea Ripley off the apron, preventing a tag. JC hit the rolling elbow, the rolling encore to Alexa Bliss, got the victory. Jade was taunting Alexa Bliss in the corner, and Flair went to attack Jade. Mia Yim and B-Fab showed up to stop her. Rhea came back, took them out for a bit, but Jade kicked her down, and then B-Fab and Mia Yim took out Charlexa. We had Royce Keyes pick up the victory over Tama Tonga. Solo and Tala were with Tama. I could swear to God Solo told Tala to let Tama handle this on his own, but he was out there. They were out there with him. Tama controlled a lot of this match. Solo was telling Tala to like back off, let him prove this on his own. In the end, Keyes caught Tama off the middle rope with a spine buster, gets the victory. I think commentary did a good job at hyping up that spine buster. And then Solo again offered that spot to Royce Keyes. Royce left. And then Nakamura backstage spoke to Tama Tonga, told him that it's disappointing that he's still with the MFT. And Tala told Nakamura to stay away from his brother. The closing segment, the funeral for the Gingerbread Man. Throughout the night, they had a viewing for him. They showed pictures and videos of him in big moments from WWE history. I was 100% sports entertained. People are calling this 2019 WWE. I say absolutely not. And the actual funeral segment that closed out SmackDown I thought was hilarious. Sami Zayn interrupted, asked why Trick would go through all this just to make a joke out of him. And he said that he has too much respect for the people who go to SmackDown, for his true fans to do this. But now he admitted that Trick got in his head, and now it's personal. And then Sammy attacked Trick Williams. This whole time, man, I'm looking at that Gingerbread Man to see if it's going to move. I didn't see him move at all. And then the Gingerbread Man sat up. Lil Yachty unmasks, gets out of the coffin. Hits Sami Zayn with that candy cane kendo stick. And then Sami ate a trick shot. I thought this was great. I truly thought this was great. I was very entertained by that whole segment throughout the whole night. So that is SmackDown. Gonna do some predictions for Backlash taking place in Tampa, Florida. Benchmark International Arena on my birthday, May 9th. We're back to five matches. Seth Rollins versus Bron Breakker, I believe, is taking place on ESPN2. I'm going to say Bron Breakker.
I'm going to say... I kind of feel like it has to be Bron Breakker, but I also feel like Bron Breakker has to learn... Like, Paul Heyman is trying to teach him right now how to keep his focus and stuff like that. I feel like there has to be kind of like that building of the lesson. I feel like Seth Rollins is going to win, but it's not going to be the end of Seth Rollins versus Bron Breakker. Maybe right. It's going to be a disqualification or Bron Breakker loses his temper.
Possible.
Next up, you have the... Let's go to the tag team matchup. Danhausen teaming up with... who to take on The Miz and Kit Wilson. Who do you say is his tag team partner?
I mean, by the time this episode is out, we could have already heard who the person is. The internet is saying Shane McMahon because Michael Cole said the person loves money.
Mm-hmm.
CM Punk is a possibility. Mr. Iguana loves money. We saw that segment with them.
Topanga. Could be Topanga.
Yeah, she threw her hat in the ring. But whoever I'm going to say Danhausen and TBA will pick up the victory over Miz.
Well, who do you think TBA is?
I honestly can't even fathom a guess there. I really can't.
I feel like I'm going to say that the TBA is...
I mean, if you pop the crowd big time, it would be CM Punk, I'm sure.
It could be. Like, I feel like it could be CM Punk, but on the other hand, look at the... I mean, it could be Cody Rhodes, too. No? No. Could be. I'll go with it being CM Punk. And I'm going to say Danhausen wins, but I think it's going to be CM Punk. I think that it's going to be... Because if you... Also, it makes sense because remember what he said when he first came into the WWE. He's here to make money, not friends.
Oh, yeah.
Or other way around, but...
Yeah.
Right? So it could be CM Punk.
We have Asuka taking on Io Sky. Hopefully Kairi Sane is involved.
Oh, I'm please, Kairi.
I'm going to say Io wins.
Imagine if this is the moment, like Kairi comes back and costs Asuka the match.
I mean, it's possible. Hopefully. I don't know.
Fingers crossed.
Mid-storyline releases are really stupid to me.
100%. And it just shows, I'm going to EO.
For the WWE United States Championship, Trick Williams defending the championship against Sami Zayn. I think this is Trick Williams to win.
Tricky. Yeah, I'm going with Trick Williams. He's so over right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if Sami has to go, I think they have to go full into Sami Zayn heel. They have to. Don't deny it. Just go full heel Sami, and Trick Williams is the winner. World Heavyweight Championship on the line. Roman Reigns defending against Jacob Fatu. I'm going to say...
I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm going to say Reigns, but...
As much as I would like Jacob Fatu, it's Roman Reigns.
What makes it interesting is that they pulled Roman Reigns from all of the upcoming shows and stuff, and with the contract negotiations and everything, it makes everything kind of, like, questionable.
Well, that's fans looking too... That's fans no longer being fans.
I know, yeah. Storyline-wise and everything, it makes total sense that it still Reigns. And I think it's going to be a great match.
So that is Backlash. Going to take a quick little break, and I'll be right back here on Markin' Out.
Hey, this is Danielle Fishel. You're listening to Markin' Out.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Markin' Out, episode 796. Moving back to AAA from last week, it opened with Mini Vikingo taking on and defeating Vikingo. Vikingo attacked him before the match. He controlled most of the match. Mini Vikingo had some fight here. That Tornillo crucifix driver to the outside went viral on Twitter, perhaps you'd say. That was awesome. Vikingo at one point took the turnbuckle pad off. Mini Vikingo sends him into it. Almost gets the victory. Vikingo kicked out. Sent him into the referee. Mini Vikingo pinned him. Obviously, the bell rang. There was no referee. I don't know what that was. There was no follow-up there. But Vikingo hit a Uranagi from the top rope. I would have assumed it was supposed to be that swinging side slam that he did. But he went to use a chair. El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. ran out to stop that. He hit a Wagner driver onto the chair. Mini Vikingo hit a Phoenix 360, gets the victory. And then Omos attacked Mini Vikingo, as well as El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr. And then Galeno showed up to help Dr. Wagner Jr. That's his brother, El Hijo de Dr. Wagner Jr., I should say. So I thought that was pretty cool. I think that's the first time we've seen him on the WWE product on TV-wise. Not think, I know. That was the first time we've seen him. Actually, I can't say that because he might have been on one of the other previous earlier cards. We saw Fenix pick up the victory over Laredo Kid. This was very even, had a lot of reversals. The fans were booing Laredo Kid. And then Fenix won with the Mexican Muscle Buster. He helped Laredo Kid up afterwards, and Kid was annoyed. But the fans enjoyed this match so much, they were throwing money into the ring. This was a good match. You had a mask versus mask contract signing. Dorian Roldan hyped up the importance of this match. Original had a letter from his attorney saying that he won't be facing El Grande Americano unless he agrees to stipulations. No physical attacks before Noche de los Grandes. And if there's an attack before that, the person not attacked is going to lose their mask. Americano agreed. He signed. Original also made it so Andrea Bazarte has to leave AAA. And she angrily agreed. I assume that's going to lead to a Macho Man Miss Elizabeth moment when Americano wins. And whoever that new GM is going to reinstate her. And then the Creed showed up, attacked Americano. Los Americanos showed up too late. Moving to last week's Impact, Jeff Hardy picked up the victory over Vincent. Broken Matt returned during this. Brother Nero, they aired a promo this week, is coming soon. Mustafa Ali picked up the victory over Adam Brooks to retain. Rosemary, Ali, and Mara Sade picked up the victory over Tessa Blanchard, Mila Moore, and Victoria Crawford. Santino is no longer suspended. He made a bunch of matches, including stuff from this week. Indy Hartwell is also back. Mr. Elegance picked up the victory over the Hometown Man. The System beat Leon Slater down after a promo. Moose made the save that sets up the match that Santino made. Elijah in the main event picked up the victory over Kazarian in a Walk with Elijah guitar strap match. This week opened with Eric Young picking up the victory over EC3 in a no DQ match. I don't know why they needed this stipulation every week almost, but I understand why it wasn't the main event. I would have liked for this to have been the main event on another show with more build. It didn't really feel like an opening match. Eric Young low blowed EC3 about like four times in the match. Hit a pile driver off the apron through the table. Hit another pile driver on a chair in the ring to win. Why did EC3 lose? That didn't make sense to me. We had the System pick up the victory over Casey Navarro and Nick Nemeth to retain the tag team championships. Nemeth and Navarro, I think, worked well together as a team. Alicia Edwards got involved a bunch of times in the match. One of those times led to Bronson getting the victory. I think after the System are no longer tag team champions, I would really like to see Brian Myers win the TNA championship. I think he's that main event level who needs to win that championship. We saw Leon Slater and Moose pick up the victory over the System, that being Cedric and Eddie. Brian and Bronson were banned from ringside due to the stipulation that Santino made. Moose and Slater worked well. I do wish there was more control from the referee here, though. And I hope Moose moves on from the System soon. Later on, to close the show, they showed him taken out from somebody. I don't know who that's going to be. They make it look like, or they make us, they make you think that it's going to be the System. Maybe it's a return, maybe it's a debut. We saw Mike Santana come out. He put over his match with Rich Swann from the other week and then spoke about future matches. Daria Ray came out, said Santana can't make his own matches. He can't choose his own opponents. And she set up a battle royal for next week to determine the number one contender. Earlier, Elena Black came out, said that she's the number one knockout. Whoever wins the titles, doesn't matter. She's coming for it. The personal concierge interrupted, brought out Ash by Elegance. Both of them were cutting heel promos, but like talking about one another.
Indy Hartwell came out, said they're both embarrassing. They all want the title. Elena Black was like, I'm going to leave this to you two. She left. Indy said everything about Ash is fake. That came to blows. And I think Indy left on top. The main event, though, saw Lei Ying Li pick up the victory over Ariana Grace to become the new Knockouts champion. I think it's awesome that they main evented here. Xia Brookside was banned from ringside, as per Santino. Lei Ying Li took Stacks out during the match, but he was up for most of it. He got Ariana Grace's foot on the rope to break the pin, like Xia Brookside did. Then he got kicked from ringside. He got literally kicked at ringside. Ariana Grace almost won off of that distraction. Li kicked out of all of that. That neck breaker that she used to win, I thought was dope. And honestly, I think a lot of people are not going to give Ariana Grace the credit for her run with that Knockouts championship that I think she deserves. Everyone thinks, not everyone, but a lot of people I see on Twitter saying it was the worst title reign in company's history, pointless champion, blah, 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 blah. I think she did exactly what she needed to do. So I appreciated this championship reign. I just hope that they do something with her in NXT now. So that is TNA Impact. Hey, Brandon, got any shout-outs?
This is Miss Piggy, and you should be listening to moi instead of Brandon's shout-outs.
On Friday, I saw Mike Score from A Flock of Seagulls at Epcot. I really only know one song from them. Obviously, it's I Ran So Far Away. Singer? What?
I'm guessing he's the lead singer?
Yeah. And I have seen him before. I saw him at an 80s concert at the theater at Madison Square Garden. But I figure, why not? You're at Epcot already. A concert is a concert is a concert. So I went to it. I enjoyed it. Someone pointed out on our TikTok that it's the perfect song to hear at Epcot because it's one of the tracks on Guardians of the Galaxy Cosmic Rewind, which I didn't even remember.
Oh, true.
So I thought that was pretty cool. So shout out to A Flock of Seagulls. I also went on Sunday to Epcot to see Plain White Tees, which I think is awesome because I have been wanting to hear Hey There, Delilah live forever. They've been playing for Epcot for, I think they said 10 years, finally lined up that I was there for it. I'm not sure.
I got to accomplish that.
What?
I'm glad that you got to accomplish that.
Why are you such a hater on this song? Did something happen to you with this song playing in the background?
That song is just so... that song is right up there with that Uba Stink song. But Uba Stink is...
Before you said Hermano, whatever it is. But now you're saying Uba?
Yeah.
I don't know if I first heard the song when it was released. The album was released in 2005 in January. But it was released on my birthday as a single in 2006. So obviously I heard it sometime around then, but I was kind of blown away with the crowd. The crowd knew every single word to every single song that they sang. Mm-hmm. Women in their 50s, I will say, which makes sense for a 2006 timeline over there. But I enjoyed it. I'm glad that these shows are... At Epcot, I'm glad that this wasn't even close to the craziness that the Beach Boys show was in November. And ultimately, I'm happy that they have shows at Epcot because I rarely get to concerts these days and get to see artists that I never think I'd see ever. Mm-hmm. So I'm happy with that. My last shout out goes to Solo Mio, which I watched on my flight coming home. I really enjoy this movie. I expected the reviews to be super unkind because it's a Kevin James film, but they're actually very, very positive. And he stars in it as an elementary school art teacher who goes to Italy to get married. He gets left at the altar, ends up still doing the honeymoon alone. He meets a cafe owner. It helps him move on. I think it's a very good rom-com. I'm not sure where or when it'll end up streaming somewhere, but I would definitely recommend watching it once it's out there. Andrea Bocelli's in it. Ed Sheeran's in it.
I never got into any Kevin James movies.
How not?
I mean, Hitch some, is one of like, nothing,
the best movies ever. Some,
definitely not one of the best movies ever. Yes. But
Paul Blart. Like,
Paul Blart. It's funny, but it's.
How could it has you no say you've never value. Gotten into it? What do you mean? Hitch is a fantastic movie. I think I saw Hitch twice in theaters.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I thought it was a very good movie, also.
Oh, brother, brother.
So check out Solo Mio whenever that comes out. I'm sure you could purchase it. But those are my shout outs. Now it's time for. Mark out moment of the week. I did mention Braun Strowman earlier, but the trailer for Braun Strowman's Everything on the Menu season 2 came out. We now know that SmackDown's back to 2 hours next month. Thank God. But we're also getting a Team Little Big reunion with Alexa Bliss as a guest on Everything on the Menu. So I'm looking forward to seeing that.
Okay. Did you watch Eternity?
Yes, I did. Yes, did on like my it? Flight going down. Notice it wasn't a shout out.
Oh.
No, it was a good movie. It was a good movie. It was just not. It wasn't. I don't know. It wasn't like a blow me away sort of movie.
Mm-hmm.
But I did enjoy it. I did watch that. Thankfully, my TVs were working on both flights. I had the newest updated planes on my flight going down and. Coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Always appreciate that. You have any other markout moments?
No, nothing on my end.
I will say WWE Vault released a video of Sergeant Slaughter this past week talking about his alley fight match with Pat Patterson to celebrate the 45th anniversary of the match. And I thought one of the parts in particular was absolutely hilarious because Sarge is talking about him hitting the ring post at one point and feeling the blood right away coming out of his head. In the clip, you literally see him gigging up his head. And I thought that was just funny that he's like, I mean, 45 years later, he's still doing kayfabe there.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was cool that they included that interview with Sergeant Slaughter for the 45th anniversary. So that is Marking Out episode 796. Those are the Markout moments of the week. Thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow us on Twitter at Marking Out, at BTDG161 on all platforms, at Chris Sweendog, at CMSweeney85, at DavidPTDBT, and Facebook.com/Marking Out. You can like us there. Subscribe on YouTube, YouTube.com/Marking Out11, and it's at Marking Out 11 on Instagram. ProWrestlingTees.com/Marking Out to purchase some merchandise, at Marking Out to see all of our TikTok videos. You can rate, review, subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, iHeartRadio, YouTube, MarkingOut.com, and we wish you the
best of luck in your future endeavors.
Fantastic week.